So yeah, so I talked to Pastor Adams about 3 weeks ago, and funny enough, what sparked this whole message in my heart when the Lord really touched me was we had very close friends, Catherine and I, who were married for about a year and a half and then got a divorce. Typical 21st century type of marriage. So rush in, have a kid real fast, stay married, try to work it out, realize you don't want to, and it's over. So through all that and through all the heartache and all the pain and everything we try to do to recapture that and keep them together and be followers of Christ and be there for them, it didn't work out. And through it all, Catherine and her friend, who will be not named, had a long hiatus on their friendship. They didn't really speak to each other. It went very radio silent, and it almost felt like maybe that person doesn't care. Maybe that person really just doesn't want to talk to me. I've done wrong, or they're going to judge me because of what happened with me and my husband. There's just a lot of mixed feelings and miscommunication involved. So the Lord told me, Gabriel, you have to be an anchor. You have to root this situation down and speak to your wife and speak to Sarah and keep them from getting swept away in the waves. Keep them from being swept away in the storm. Because something as beautiful as friendships and relationships that make up 90% of our lives, like Pastor Andrew told me yesterday, have to be maintained. And there's different seasons for everything. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me twisted. Throughout this message today that I'm going to be preaching, I don't want you to think that you always have to be up everybody's business all day and lovey-dovey and, oh, man, you know, this person's doing, you know, pot and heroin, so I got to hang out with them. No, no, no. Like, the Lord wants you to worry about your spiritual journey with him and make Christ your main anchor, your main emphasis in your heart. So with my message today, it's called Anchors and Barriers. And I believe everybody in this church is an anchor, or is called to be an anchor for Jesus Christ. Those are the people who, like an anchor, root you down. They bring you closer to God. They don't let you get swept away from the storms. You know, they keep your ship at steady seas. And then you have barriers. Well, the meaning for a barrier is anything that will block out or hold in what you want or don't want to receive. Like in the world we live in today, when you hop on Facebook and it's super cool to be an introvert and watch Netflix and have a glass of wine and just turn everybody else off. And although that's fun and all, and you have to take time for yourself, our main purpose here is to be anchors for the kingdom of Christ and to draw as many hearts to the Lord before our time on earth is over, till it ceases. So with that mentality, we're not being the light, we're not being the anchors that God has called us to be if we're closing ourselves off and being barriers to people. So the main emphasis of the message today is be the anchor God has called you to be. For the church, for your community, for the world, however far it can go, go. So to open up today, the Lord wanted me to share my testimony. It's a little more boring than the rest, but it matters a lot to the Christian I am today and where I came from and who I am and who I want to be in the future. So as I was raised, and Pastor Adam and Chrissy can attest to this very well, I was raised in a family of eight. So if you count mom and dad, it's eight total. I was the youngest of six siblings. My mother and father divorced when I was a year old. So I was introduced to a whole new family at two, and it's all I knew for a long portion of my life. So at that time, the age gap was so tremendous that the other four out of six, minus my second to youngest brother, Daniel, were all out doing teenage things. They were being barriers towards Christ. They didn't really want that in their life half the time. They showed up to youth group. They did the motions. They ran through the everyday operations, but you could tell that there was a piece missing. They were missing time. Time was passing them by to recapture hearts for the kingdom of heaven, to let people know Jesus' gospel. And even at 5 years old, I remember every night at 9:30 p.m., my dad would come home from the car business. He worked 12 hours every single day. And if he forgot, I was always quick to remind him. At 5 years old, I said, Dad, you didn't come in and say prayers with me tonight. We got to get that done. I can't go to sleep yet. Or he would come in and he would be the anchor of our family, even when he didn't want to be, even when his flesh told him, just go to sleep. Walk away. He had to be there. He had to be the light, the presence of the household. So I remember always saying prayers to my father, and I remember watching everybody observing and analyzing like kids do. Being the youngest, I get the privilege of seeing everybody else make mistakes. so that I can live a more clean walk with Christ, or fall into the same mistakes but learn, you know, forgiveness, learn retribution for the mistakes I've made. So very humbling experience to grow up in that kind of environment where you get to see everybody else. And then even as the youngest, like in Timothy says, to be the light, to be the wisdom, even, you know, derivative age, you know, exclude that from what you're doing. You know, your age shouldn't decide who you are as a spiritual leader in your household. You can be the light for people who have dimmed out. So with my story, I look towards one big part of the equation that was missing growing up a lot of times was our attitude towards Christ and our attitude towards each other and our relationships. That's really what decides you as an anchor and a barrier, is how you approach things through pride, through humility, through being humble, through grace. All those things tie into your attitude. So I want to read from scripture here. We're going to go in. I've got this cool little book that my wife bought me that I use all the time to witness to people. Did it a lot in high school. People would tell me I was reading. This is just a little Bible cheat book. So when people say, where in the Bible does it say this? You can be like, bam, got a context. Here's where it says it. I got everything in here. So let's go to attitude. All right. First of all, in Philippians 2:5, it even tells us that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean if Jesus was the most perfect person in history? It means that every day you're going to make a mistake, you're going to sin, you're going to want to feel pride, judgment, grief. You don't want to deal with people half the time. But if your attitude is supposed to resemble Christ Jesus, you are called to clear those sins away from your heart and to leave that space open to let people see Christ's light shine through you. It starts with your actions, which are a direct reflection of your attitude, how your heart is open to Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 4:22-24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. That's all the things of this world. That's all the things of our flesh that drag us down. Our pride, our grudges, our I don't want to forgive this person. I want to, you know, intend this poison for my enemies, but instead it hurts my soul. So it says, right here, yeah, I got it. So, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To be created like God in true righteousness and holiness. So with that, I read that word last night when I was, you know, finishing up, getting the final touches and everything, because Pastor Andrew and Pastor Adam know I'm a pretty last-minute guy, so. But I'll tell you what, all my A-pluses in school came from being a last-minute guy, so we're good. But I read that scripture, and it really spoke to my heart, and I said, man, how many times in the day do I go through the motions? Do I let people I just see every day at work, or even my wife, who I know is a believer and I know has her heart for Christ, but how many times in the day do I just not let people know I care? Strike up a small conversation and let them see Christ's love through me. How many times a day am I a barrier when I should be an anchor in this small thread of mortal life that we have? And I ponder that every day before I go to bed. I told Catherine last night, I think every night, what could I have done better for the kingdom of heaven? How could I have rooted more people to Christ? And you miss out on a lot of things. And with that, on the last part of attitude, I go to Colossians. And in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, in being the anchor that Christ has called you to being the spiritual way breaker that God has called you to be, to hold you in the sails, to hold you in peace, and to show that to others, it's all about giving back to his kingdom. It's all about giving thanks to Christ and the Lord. That's what our main purpose is here. That's why this message was put on my heart. That's why it's so important to share today, is that a lot of times, and I feel like with my own self, trust me, I'm just as guilty when I walk away from this church. When Monday comes, We forget a lot of what Pastor Adam said. We see ourselves a lot, and we want to live for ourselves. And it's very hard that when you get to the end of the day, when you've lost all the time that you had and all the opportunities that Christ put you in front of and every single step that he gave you that day to change at least one heart for him or to resurrect somebody, you chose maybe a different way. Maybe a way that you could have been more of that anchor, but you chose to be more of that barrier. So with that, I talk about us as a church, why this is so important, why fellowship is called upon as us as a church, is because we're all supposed to keep each other rooted in. We're all supposed to keep each other connected to God. We're one body, we're one mind, we're one heart. So in that, I believe it's talking in 1 Peter, which I'll go to here. One sec. Yeah, here we go. So I think about my church family. I think about seeing you guys every Sunday, and I think, what if I didn't have them? And there's plenty of times where I'm working. Pastor Adam gets on me all the time. You know, why weren't you at church? You missed two Sundays. Well, I understand more why. Because the more that we cut ourselves off, the more we become islands to each other, even though we all have strong faith in Christ. We all know each other through our testimonies, through our faith. So we should be the strongest help, the strongest aids that we have for one another. And when we disconnect ourselves from the church body, it says here in Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. Meaning that if we fall to the ways of sin, if we fall to the world, and we become barriers more permanently, we still have those in faith that can help us up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And I think about the people that I see every day at work, most of which I know are atheist or agnostic or don't believe that there's anything after death. That when their spirit falls and when they fall to the world, who's there for them? Who's told them that it's going to be okay, that somebody cares about you? I mean, who of us in this room had a hard week last week after church? Exactly. Wife and I had to get a new car. Felt alone, you know, had to get a new car, had to switch over insurance, now we got to change the timing belt. It's one thing after another. It's the best part about being married and being an adult. It's one thing after the other, you know. Next thing you know, the dryer and washing machine is going to go, all right, Linda Garrett? Yeah, exactly. Just blow up. But I laugh because through all of the problems, through all the storms, I was laughing about it because I said, Lord, thank you for giving me an anchor as strong as my wife, Catherine. Because through every bad thing, through all the stress, through all the annoying, are you going to call the insurance company today? Are you going to call Pick and Pull? And I was like, yes, baby, yes, I got it. She's like you. She likes to be organized. Bless her heart. Like I said, very last minute guy here. It gets done. Just doesn't always get done when you say it gets done, all right? So through all the stress, through all the humility, through everything else, I just thank the Lord and every minute I had of the day, anytime I had a break, saying, thank you, God, for giving me strong anchors in my life, like Catherine, like my father, like Pastor Adam, like Andrew and Chrissy, like Gary and Linda, who are there when you need them most, like Justin and Kristen, who don't have to be, but who have been called by the kingdom of heaven to root you in closer to God's heart. And I laugh, too, on that, to piggyback off that story. Kat and I, if you guys don't know, one, we just had our 3-year anniversary back on the 14th. Super cool. Yeah, it's been 8 years total. So when you get to see somebody your whole life grow up with, and then, you know, they were 2 years old one day, and now they're 24-year-old woman, almost 25, it's really cool. So with that, I laugh because Kat and I don't really fight. I say that because we have feuds, we have arguments, we have things that keep us in the house. We never say we're going on a week's vacation to mom and dad's house, or we're leaving for our best friend because you smell, or anything like that. So It's funny because Kat and I will fight. It'll be about the dumbest things in the world, like drying dishes or something. It'll be just the dumbest stuff. And it'll get really heated. We'll say things that are like from 5 years ago, really stupid. And in the midst of all of it, I'm just hearing in my head, and I know it's not my subconscious, I know it's the Holy Spirit saying, you're being dumb. Like, you're putting up barriers right now between you and your wife, and the only thing you can do is be the spiritual anchor of that household and really hold you both down. Like, you've got to stop this. You need to apologize. You're wrong no matter what. I was like, and she is too. I was like, you're both not right, so just fix it. And sometimes you're just like, Lord, I want to watch my Netflix and drink my wine and be an introvert right now. I don't want to talk to you. But we always do this around 12 minutes exactly in the argument. She looks at me and she's like, will you just hold me? And I'm like, sure, babe. Because I understand the Lord said the same exact thing to her. We both have a responsibility, especially when we're the two people closest to each other in our lives, to hold each other in place. The more barriers that we create, how can we be more sound and light for God's kingdom if we can't even work together on ourselves? And I go back to the people we see through the motions. And the Lord kept telling me, I had a great witness with our dishwasher. I work at Chef T's Pubs as a server and bartender. So our dishwasher, I know, is atheist. But I had a phenomenal conversation with her from Pastor Adams last week, talking about religion and your report card and how you have this big old, you know, picture you have to look up to. And the outside looks clean and you got the nice haircut and the nice button-up shirt, but your inside is cold. Everything's black. And I told her, the Lord doesn't care about what you've done or what you did or, you know, where you're at. All he cares about is that every single day we're seeking him further. Every single day we're trying to tap into him more and talk about his gospel, talk about his love. And more I preached to her, I could feel myself pulling her closer to Christ and really throwing that anchor onto the water and keeping her from the storms that she's facing in her life. And I laugh because the Lord was telling me the ones we see the most in the motions are the ones who need us the most. He's put us in places at exact times and exact points in time to be the witnesses for his kingdom. He can do it all on his own, but the calling is for us. And the more that we want to put up those barriers against people, the more that we want to close ourselves off from the things that make us awkward or uncomfortable, where we don't seek that confidence from God, we don't pray for that courage, the more that those people through the motions every day get lost. They get lost in the waves. You're missing chances, you're missing opportunities every day. I'm missing opportunities every day to let one person feel like somebody cares and being that person for them. And it makes me really think and compare myself to Christ a lot of times. Also, like Pastor Adam said last Sunday, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he had a man to his side that was the exact same, similar cross, hanging there. And he couldn't hop off. He couldn't go to the temple and pay his respects. He couldn't pay his taxes. He couldn't do any good deed, give away his hurt, anything of that time that was equivalent to something amazing. All he did was know that Jesus was the Son of Man based off reputation and what he was seeing there on the cross, and knowing that he could feel the love radiating off that person. See, when we resemble Christ the Father in righteousness, like we talked about in Ecclesiastes, people see that. Your actions, the way you walk in Christ, you don't have to be all talk. You don't have to always witness. Sometimes just being that kind person, just being that soft hand on someone's heart is all it takes for somebody to see Christ witness through you, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. So through the crucifixion, he's, you know, for a guy that didn't even know Jesus, he still was giving eternal life. His best friend Judas sold him out for a worthless silver. That's it. A lot of money back then, but not worth your best friend. I mean, Linda, could you imagine selling Gary for, even if he upsets you, could you imagine selling Gary for silver? No. Or $1 million today. Let's just say that. But even the people who love Jesus most, even the people that Jesus bled for the most, turned from him. When he came back to town, he met to his own, and even his own casted him out. But that didn't mean that he didn't stop being the anchor. That didn't mean he didn't stop being the spirit for those people, to be the light for those people. He didn't turn his back on them. When he could have held grudges, he could have been imperfect. He could have said, I don't want to talk to that person. They did me wrong. That's not okay. I'm not going to heal this broken relationship. I'm not going to do that. Instead, he chose what the Lord would do. He chose to give his heart, to give his time back to those people that did him wrong. And I love it too, in the story of Lazarus, when the sisters come to Jesus and they say, you know, you let him die. You could have saved him and didn't. And just the compassion and the emotion and the love that Jesus poured out at the grave for Lazarus and wept for him. And he knew the plan all along. And that's another thing I think that we miss out on too. We think that we have so much time here on this earth to just do what we want and to pass through. And whenever I get into that motion, the Lord suddenly shows up in the obituaries. It's always somebody my age. And it's like, man, nobody is safe. Everybody's got a time that the Lord calls them. And I think that every minute that passes us by, and trust me, we all have jobs, we all have families, we don't really have time to tap into the kingdom of heaven, to give back glory to God, to really enlarge and enlighten his kingdom. I think about how he knew the plan all along, and he knew that Lazarus was coming back, and it was all in his timing, and it was all about when he wanted or needed to decide to be the spiritual anchor of that situation and make people restore their faith in each other and restore their faith in the Son of Man. And that's another thing, too, is with us as the church and with us in our fellowship and how we walk our walk, and when we see each other in Bible studies throughout the weeknights or just once a week here at church, we have to keep those in faith the closest to our hearts. Our fellowship is not meaningless. We have to be there for each other. We have to have strong anchors in our lives. Plenty of really strong married couples and plenty of really strong single people come to this church every Sunday, and they are great people to tap into and learn more about. Learn more about their witness from Christ and see Christ's love through them. There isn't a minute of the day that I can't text or call Pastor Adam. I could call Gary. I could easily call Andrew. And if I was having a problem in any relationship, especially with Kat and I, they would be there, even if just to talk. So I say keep those in faith closer. And those who aren't as much, still keep them rooted. Just be that person who can restore their faith in other people, but most importantly, restore their faith in Jesus Christ and remind them that he is the true anchor for their ship. He's what keeps them from being swept in the waves. You know, when the oceans rise, you know, you look above. And I feel like that's what our calling is. We're not alone, but we're all in one piece of each other. In 1 Peter 3:8 through 9, finally, be all as of one mind, having compassion for one another, love your brother and sisters, be pitiful and be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, an eye for an eye, not rendering that someone did you wrong, and because of that, you have to do them wrong back, or not forgive them for their transgressions. Or railing for railing, but counterwise in blessing, knowing that you are called and that you should inherit a blessing in return. So the Lord looks at us and he's watching. And like I said, he can do it all on his own. With just a snap of his fingers, he can make it all go away. But that's why we're called to be the light, to be the anchors for his kingdom. To really pull people back in. Really keep them rooted in the foundation. build them on the rock that is Jesus Christ. They need a strong foundation. And just to recap, we can't do it alone. You know, we all need each other. We all need spiritual guidances and witnesses from each other that the Lord has given us all as gifts to share with one another and those who may not know it further. So church, what are we at here? In closing today, it's Pastor Adam and Andrew looking at me all weird. In closing today, like I said, I don't want you to leave these doors and leave it all at the altar and leave it all in the pews and leave it all in the book and put it back. Take it. The Lord is going to give each and every one of you an opportunity this week, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, someone you already know really well, or someone you don't even know at all. He's going to give you an opportunity this week, I guarantee it, to be that anchor, to be that person who cares, to be that person who is the restoration of faith in others for someone in need. And it will be probably somebody you see every day. And I just encourage you and I challenge you before you leave today to really be vigilant, stay alert, and see what opportunities the Lord gives you this week. Because you will feel it in your spirit. The Holy Spirit will let you know when it's time. And you can either be the anchor for that situation and really love that person and bring them back, or you can be the barrier and just walk through the motions. And church, with my final word today, I just call that, you know, if you want the Lord to be that main anchor, if you want him to be that main light, maybe you're like me and maybe you've wandered off your path a couple of times. You're not really sure if you know anymore, or maybe you just haven't really gotten the word of God to impact you really hard. If you want that, we have people up here that can pray with you today at the altar. Just let the Lord be your anchor, and he'll show you how to be his light for the rest of the world and to recapture those people that are out there wandering.
Amen. Can we stand and close in worship?
He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart.
God, we thank you for this word today. And Father God, your word would encourage us to not get weary of doing good. And that as we harvest, as we harvest what we've sown over the years, God, every time we choose to be an anchor instead of a barrier, God, your word says that we'll harvest eternal life. And it's not just our own, Father, but we will see others come to know you. That's our greatest reward, is to see your life multiply through us into the lives of others. Help us to be anchors this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.